something like this. And when he went, my Lord, what's he doing here? Lift your hands and let's worship him tonight. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of our honor, glory, worship that we can get to him. Worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus heard faint cries, opened blind eyes, he raised a dead and calmed the sea.
Uh-huh.
He's a mighty helper. He cleansed the leper, set captive spirit free.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the very night him, the crucified him, he abides with us glory. And his mighty power is just the same
today.
He was doing good. Gave gratitude, fed the multitudes. Everything good. And when the people saw him, started walking in the river, talking like this. Everything, my Lord, was a doing good. Everything, he was doing good. Gave gratitude, fed the multitudes. Everywhere he could. Pentecostal saw him, started walking, and I was talking like they should. Everywhere he went, my Lord was a living good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the Lord is still on the throne. It'd be wonderful reading just to read about the mighty works that Jesus did when he was here on earth. I mean, just if it was all just history, that'd be a wonderful thing. I thank God there's no real ending to the book of Acts. Amen. It's called Acts of the Apostles, but actually it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Because some of the folks that it mentions that God used in there, I wasn't apostles per se. The Acts of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is still here and he's still acting. Still moving, still working. Hallelujah. His mighty power is just the same today. And I'm glad it is. Thank the Lord. We was a visiting the other night and Brother Collins said we ought to write a book.
Right.
Hallelujah. God's done so many things.
So many things.
Amen. I'm glad he let me be there when some of the things happened.
Tell us about
it, General. Just so I could be in on it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Be in on it.
It's not important to me who prayed the prayer of faith. I'm just glad I got to be there when the Lord done it.
Right.
Has the Lord done it anyway with it?
Tell us about it.
Amen. I'm glad I got to be there. I got to see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Oh, it just take too long to start trying to enumerate them all. But it's just so many times and so many ways the Lord's moved and heard and answered prayer. Hallelujah. Heal folks of just about anything you can name. We was in a place not too many weeks back, and the wife testified about how the Lord healed her. She was a diabetic. Had to take insulin shots. And God healed her. And it's been years. How many years since you've had an insulin shot? Long years since she's had to have an insulin shot.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it so happened in that service, there was a lady said, I've just been seeking God. Her little granddaughter, they found out was diabetic, was having to take insulin shots. And she said, I've never had heard of anybody that had been healed when there's a diabetic.
Well,
and said the devil really had been worrying her about it, because this granddaughter looked like was going to be locked in to having taken insulin shots the rest of her life. And it really helped their faith. That little girl really brightened up. She'd been so despondent about the fact that she felt like that needle was something she'd have to face every day.
Yes.
But God's able.
Yes.
God's able. God's able. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I took high blood pressure medicine for 15 years. A year ago, the doctor took me off of blood pressure medicine, heart medicine, Glory to God. Doctor told me 16, 17 years ago, said you'll have to take blood pressure medicine the rest of your life. I left the clinic and headed back down toward the house, and I said, as far as he knows.
Yeah.
I expected God to do it long before he did, but he can even heal high blood pressure.
Right.
Amen.
Yes,
he can heal cancer. Oh, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, if we'll just get the right mix of faith and works and get a hold of God and come to God just right. There's a way we can get an answer. Hallelujah. I like the way they did it down in Arkansas. We had a bunch of folks prayed. I think 20-some prayed in one revival down there, 25 or so. And the Lord had saved some of them out of the very depths. Strung out on drugs, alcohol, what have you. And God broke the fetters and nothing else could do it. And still yet, if we're around somewhere where they can get there to the meeting and they come, you have prayer line. They don't come up for prayer. They come up for their healing.
Well,
it makes a difference.
Yeah.
If you just come to be prayed for, that's probably all that'll happen. You just get prayed for, unless God just grants an extra work of grace.
Help.
But they know what God done when he broke the fetters. And to them, it's just a simple little matter for God to heal them after he set them free from where they's bound. And they just come up for their healing, know they're going to get it, and they do. Hallelujah. And not only that, they come up. One boy came up one night. His twin brother was lost, hadn't been in church for years. And he said, I'm standing in for the salvation of my twin brother. And I mean, but a night or two till his brother was there and came to the altar and prayed through and got right with God. Why? Because that young convert believed if God could save him, God could do anything. And he can. He can. If we could just get our faith in that mode, just get our faith in that realm, just get our faith activated to the point to where we could. I'm not preaching. Name it and claim it. I'm preaching, believe in God that he'll do what he said he would do.
Right.
Hey man, when we meet the conditions and coming to God feeling like we've met the conditions, if our heart condemns us not, God is greater than our heart. If our heart condemns us, little John said, then we need to get it right and get it fixed, Brother Lowry. But if our heart condemns us not, we've got confidence in God, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that what do we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us, and if he hears us, if we know that he hears us, then we have the petition that we desired.
Well.
Writer of the Hebrews said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Hallelujah. We can get our faith in the right level. And this morning, what I was going to preach on. And I'm probably still not going to preach on it. But it seemed like it's a hot trail I just run across. You know. And faith is a substance of things hoped for. To start with, you're just hoping for it, but you know God can do it. And you believe God will do it. And you come to God with a heart that's not condemning you. And you come to God and praying in the will of God.
Yes.
And your heart condemns us not. What do we ask? According to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, and we've got the right mix and the conditions is just right, and we know that he hears us, then the answer's on its way. Amen. Sometimes the answer's on its way before we even ask and while we're yet speaking. The Lord's a moving in our behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we receive not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because we're asking so we can consume it on our own lusts. And we get things all mixed up and muddled up because God didn't answer our prayers that we was asking out of selfish reasons and selfish desires and to satisfy our own desires. Why, then we get to doubting and he can do it otherwise.
Yes.
And that's one reason I think that you actually see more miracles happen on the mission field amongst the young converts there than we do here at home, because they haven't seen it fail. They haven't seen it fail.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they everything that's been told to them, and they've acted on it and come according to the Word of God and done it the way God said to do it, and it's always worked and it's always happened, and they don't have any doubt about what is going to happen then.
Again.
Amen. And it just keeps working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we can get our faith back in that simplicity again and say, when I don't get an answer, it's because I didn't come right to the Lord according to His will. Maybe there's something I need to get prayed through about first. Maybe I've got a little bit of malice or envy or strife or something down in there. A little bit of all against my brother, as the brother was talking about. Amen. A lot of things can hinder your prayers. What was it James wrote about? Husbands ought to get along with their wives, and wives ought to get along with their husbands, so their prayers wouldn't be hindered. I mean, you fuss and fight and growl and snap at one another all day at home. No wonder you can't get in and get blessed when you get to church at night. Your prayers get hindered.
Yes.
Come on. It'll hinder your prayers going through. Lord, help me. I better quit meddling and get into the Word of God. But there's a way to get an answer. There's a way to get an answer. There's a way to get in touch with heaven. There's a way to get heaven to move in your behalf. Hallelujah. In the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel tonight. Daniel, the great man, great prophet.
Right.
One of the few men that the Bible tells us about that we don't find any marks against him on the record. Thank God for Joseph, and thank God for Daniel.
Right.
Thank God for some that kept their integrity.
Can be done.
That there's no marks against them. I appreciate God's restoration power and God's ability to bring us back when we've missed it. But I'm glad God left us some examples of those that was faithful all the way.
All the way.
Amen.
Right.
You don't have to sin a little bit every day. You don't have to sin a little bit even once a year. You don't have to sin a little bit every 10 years.
Right.
You don't have to sin a little bit once in a lifetime. Amen. We find no marks against Daniel. No marks against Joseph. Several characters in the Bible, Samuel, that you don't find any marks against. Because they had served God. Held on to God. Started out when they was young and stayed with it all the way through. Amen. You can do it. You can do it, boys. You can do it, girls. I mean, turn it over to God, and you sell out to God 100% and keep it 100% all the way. And I mean, if you're completely sold out to God, the devil ain't got much to offer you.
Right.
Paul said, I count everything else as loss that I might attain Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil threatened to destroy his reputation. He said, I laid that down on the road to Damascus when I saw the great light and got the heavenly vision. Amen. I give it all to God then. Amen. What reputation are you talking about? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything I've got, I put at the foot of the cross. Everything I've got, I give it to God. Everything I've got, I surrender to Him. What are you talking about? It's hard for the devil to buy you out when you're sold out completely to God. Amen. Whatever you want, Lord. That's the way it'll be.
Right.
Daniel served the Lord. God showed him things clear down to the very end of time.
Sure,
this 12th chapter, he told him about Michael standing up for the children of thy people. Told about that time of trouble. That's what's making the news again now, and it'll keep on. making the news off and on. He's been doing it for the last 50 years now. Israel, the Middle East, the pot's still boiling over there.
Right.
Everything's still falling in place. Amen. I know a lot of folks have jumped the gun. A lot of folks have got out on a limb and cut the limb off behind them. I remember when I was a boy, and I was telling them the other day about it. When I was a boy and World War II was on, evangelist came through, and he was so sure God had revealed to him that Hitler was the Antichrist and Mussolini was a man of sin, and he said, if it's not so, I'll eat my Bible.
Yeah.
Boy, like, I wondered then when Hitler and Mussolini went under. I wondered if he put ketchup or mustard on it or mayonnaise or how he managed it. But just because some have jumped a gun and some have got out on a limb and some have missed it doesn't mean that the Bible's not right, but it will come to pass precept on precept, line upon line. Just like God showed it to Daniel, and just like he showed it to Ezekiel, just like he showed it to Isaiah, and just like he showed it to Zechariah, just like he showed it to the rest of the prophets, and just like Jesus said it'd be, and it's going to be just that way. And sometimes we misinterpret, and sometimes we get excited about something and jump the gun on it, but God will do it in his own way in his own time. And it's all coming about to the very same point. Yeah, we've had lots of antichrists in the land. Little John said they was already in the land in his time. And they'll keep being until the real one comes along. And I dare say he's just standing back in the wings right now waiting for the last prop to be set in place on the stage, as it were. Almost everything's in line. Far as I can tell, looks like just any time. The technology of our day and age is ready for it.
Right.
This computer age that we live in, this business of these computer chips have been embedded and computerizing the animals and computerizing the birds and these exotic birds. And you notice that when they're advertising, they're already chipped. They've already got that chip in under their skin where they can track them to where they can locate them. Amen. They can slip it in there with a hypodermic needle. And the place they've chosen when they start putting the chips in people is the right hand or in their forehead. Why? Because the little battery that operates the chip charges from the difference between temperature, heat, and cold. And there's more right-handed people than there's left-handed people. And your hand or your face is exposed more at extremes and temperature than anything else. So that's the reason they've chosen those positions to put it.
Well,
little knowing the Bible said that that mark that the Antichrist is going to put on us, and that's really what that thing is a mark.
Right.
Got our whole life history recorded in it. Mm-hmm. Pass it under a scanner, and the scanner will read it out. I mean, the technology's in position right now for you not to be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast.
Get close.
The stage is being set. All the props are getting in place.
Right.
I got plumb excited when they tore the Berlin Wall down.
Me too.
As long as Germany was divided, it didn't fit into Ezekiel's prophecy for Gomer to come down with all of his bands. A divided Germany didn't fit into prophecy. How could it ever be any different when they built the Berlin Wall, when Russia was controlling one part of it and the free world the other part and the Berlin blockade and everything and that was going on? How could it be so? But God, when he got ready, it wasn't no problem at all for Germany to be reunited. After all the bitterness and all the hatred and the strife that had gone on, they pulled the wall down and got united again, so Gomer became one with his bands. Amen.
Right, right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there's people that don't believe none of it when they can see it happening right in front of their eyes.
Right.
Amen. Brother Collins said the other night, I believe it was Brother Collins, somebody said Israel going back home was one of the greatest signs of the end time that ever could have been. But God showed Daniel all these things. And then in the last verse he said, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel, you're going to rest. You're not going to see all this. Daniel's an old man here. God has already told him about the 70th week and those weeks of years that's going to happen before the Messiah comes and all these things that's going to happen. Said, Daniel, you'll not see it. You'll not see it all taking place. But you're going to rest with your fathers. Oh, but there's a resurrection coming, Daniel. And at the end of the days, when the last prophecy's been fulfilled, when the last prop's been set in place on the stage, and when the last battle's been fought, and the smoke of the battle clears away, hallelujah, and that resurrection morning comes, and that resurrection takes place, Daniel, you're going to be a standing in your lot.
Preach, Brother Joe.
That lot bothered me there. I thought about, you know, folks got lots in the cemetery or plots in the cemetery, but that didn't seem to satisfy me. And, you know, we got lots or houses built on. I kept thinking in those terms. And I thought, well, I need to find out where Daniel's going to be standing. So I looked it up in the lexicon and the Hebrew Chaldee word, whatever it is. And G-O-R-A-L, Goral, I guess, way you'd say it. And it said it means a portion or a destiny. Daniel, when it's all over. When it's all come to its focal point at the end of the days. When everything's been fulfilled that I've been showing you and showing Ezekiel and showing these others. There's a destiny waiting for you. You're going to stand up again. You'll rest with your fathers. But you've got a date with destiny. And when it's all over and the smoke's cleared away, you'll keep that date with destiny. You'll stand in your lot. You'll stand in your portion. You'll be there. When it's all over with, you'll be there. Not only will Daniel be there, but you've got a date with destiny. I've got a date with destiny. I don't know if I'll be alive and remain when the Lord comes, or if I'll be among those that's asleep. But Paul said either way, those that are in the grave will not prevent us. Amen. But they'll rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. We've got a date with destiny at the end of the days, when the prophecies are all been fulfilled, when Armageddon's come and gone, when the smoke's cleared away, when the buzzards and the fowls have come and picked the flesh off the bones to keep from defiling, polluting the land. Oh, say, the Lord's a-coming back, set His feet on Mount of Olives. Amen. Gonna bring 10,000s of His saints with Him. I'd like to be in that vanguard that follows that white horse and its rider when He comes from yonder's world. Glory to God. There's a destiny for the people of God. There's a destiny for the saints of God. The Bible tells us in Revelations that just the righteous is going to be raised beforehand, and then we'll reign as kings and priests for 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead lived not till the 1,000 years were finished. And then he said, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the heavens and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And whoso's name was not found written in the book of life was judged out of things that was written in the book. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. And whoso's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake burning with fire and brimstone. There's a date with destiny. There's an appointment we'll keep. Amen. There's a time we'll stand before God. There's a portion for us. Amen. We can either have a portion with the saints of God. We can either have a portion in the saints walking in through the gates into the city. Glory to God. Living in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Ruling and reigning with God. Or we can have a portion with those that miss it. David told us back in Psalms chapter 16, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. And there's that word again. Lord, you're the one that's taking care of my destiny. Paul said, I know in whom I believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that I've committed into his hands against that day. Lord, you're the one that maintains my lot. You're the one that's holding the reins of my destiny. And Lord, as long as I make you my portion and my inheritance and at my cup, the lions are falling to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I'll set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
My.
How to keep from backsliding? Keep the Lord always before you. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on the gold. I've set the Lord. David said, I've set him there. I put him there. I placed him there. Glory to God. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. Hebrews said, look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despised the shame, endured the cross, despising the shame. Hallelujah. And he sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Set him before you always. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my joy, glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. What's he talking about? His destiny. He's talking about his lot. He's talking about his inheritance. The Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. He's my lot. He's my destiny. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've set him always before me. He's at my right hand and I'll not be moved. I'm walking with him. He's walking with me. Glory to God. He walks with me and he talks with me. Hallelujah. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Glory to God, Daniel. You're going to sleep with your fathers. You're going to rest. But there's a resurrection day coming. And you're going to stand in your lot at the end of the days. Where are you going to stand when the sands run out? And the hourglass of time. Where are you going to stand when you come to the end of the journey? Maybe the doctor walks in, checks your vital signs, calls the family outside the door, tells them it's just a matter of time now. We've done all we can do. Your bank account ain't going to matter a whole lot then. What kind of car you drove ain't going to really make a whole lot of difference. What kind of house you lived in ain't going to make a whole lot of difference. You're not taking none of it with you. Amen. It's nice if you've left the family in good condition. It's nice if you've had things comfortable, nice for them. Thank God for it. Appreciate it. But that's not really what life's all about. A man's life, Jesus said, don't consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. And that date we keep with destiny is the most important thing. If you can't leave your children with a good start in life financially, if you can leave them with a vital faith in a living God, it'll be worth more to them than if you left them $1 million apiece. The $1 million might help them for a while till it was gone. Or if they took care of it right, it might help them clear on through to the end of this life. But it won't help them when they meet their date with destiny. Whenever they come to the end of the journey. Whenever they get ready to go by the way of all the flesh. When it comes their turn to sleep with their fathers. You're going to rest, Daniel. But you're going to stand in your lot at the end of the days. Where you're going to stand when the days run out for you. The Lord knows the number of your steps. He keeps your days in His hand. The Bible tells us. I don't know how many days you got. Go to the cemetery and look at the stones and look at the dates on them. Some folks hangs around here for decade after decade. 80, 90. A few of them makes it over 100. But there's lots of them. There's lots of those dates that don't never make it near that far. Some of them never make it to their teens. Some of them never make it through their teens. Accidents happen to everybody. Tragedy strikes every home. That pale horse and his rider comes by. And you don't argue with him. Unless God comes by to help you. When that pale horse and his rider comes by, you don't argue then. And that pale horse rider was called death. And if you're not ready to meet God when that pale horse comes by, the Bible said in hell followed with you. There's a date with destiny you'll keep. Jesus referred to it. He said in the 24th chapter of St. Matthew, when he's talking about his coming, and he said that the servant that was faithful, that done his part, that gave a portion to goods to the household, and was faithful in taking care of the master's business, that he'd be rewarded when the end came. But that servant that wasn't faithful, I could turn over and read it to you, that servant that wasn't faithful would be cut asunder, and he would be appointed his portion with the hypocrites.
God help!
That's his destiny. That's his portion.
That's his destiny.
That's his lot. The unfaithful servant. The unfaithful servant that began to smite the fellow servants. Eat and drink with the drunkard. The one that wasn't faithful. The one that wasn't. And Jesus told this right when he was talking about the signs of his coming in Matthew 24. And Jesus himself said, some folks are going to meet an awful fate. Some folks are going to wind up in an awful destiny. Do you want your portion with the hypocrites? I don't know, every once in a while I run across somebody. But I'd come to church, there wasn't so many hypocrites. I've got to where I say, well, I'd rather put up a few of them here, go to church with a few of them here if I had to. If there's any of them going to church, I'd rather put up with them for a few days and a few weeks, a few months here to have to live with them forever and eternity. You don't want to go to church with them. If you're not real careful, you'll go to hell. Be with them forever. But you've got a date with destiny. There's coming a day when you'll have to answer to God. You won't let the hypocrite stand between you and God. You won't let the hypocrite keep you away from church, keep you away from God's altar, keep you away from God's house, keep you away from God's table, keep you from feasting on the good things of God. Let him stand in your way. If he's standing your way, he's closer to God than you are. And you want to use that for an excuse, just go ahead and you'll get to spend eternity with him. And that's the wrong word to use, spend, because there's no way to spend it. It goes on and on and on. If you spend something, you can get rid of it and run out, but it'll never run out. It'll be on and on, ages of ages. Ages of ages. And you point to the hypocrite and let the hypocrite keep you away. And you'll wind up with your destiny mingled with his.
What a cheap way to sell out.
It's coming. It's coming. Yeah, don't everybody go to church always live just like they ought to live? They didn't in Jesus' day.
That's right.
Come on. John the Baptist pointed them out. Jesus called them out. They is there then. They'll be there till Jesus comes. The tares will grow with the wheat, and the wheat will grow amongst tares until Jesus comes.
Sure.
But he's got a great separator on that great combine that he's got.
Ooh,
amen. Hallelujah. And he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to separate the grain from the wheat.
Yes, sir.
Oh, 45, over, I guess over 45 years ago, I was just a young preacher. A lot of things worried me. I saw some things going on that I was troubled about. And it really worried me. And I don't know whether to call it a vision or just what, but I was praying. And I saw this vast harvest field. And I saw people trying to reap the grain. Some had the little hand sickles like they used to use years ago. Some had the bigger cradles like Dad used when I was a kid. And then some of them had the combines and was really growing across the field big time. And in the distance was this dark, dark cloud rolling in. I mean, terrible storm coming in. And I wanted to cry out, because there was some that was letting the harvest go because they were pulling the tares out from amongst the wheat, separating the weeds out from the wheat. And every time they'd pull one of those weeds out of a bundle of wheat, they'd pull out a few stalks of wheat with it. And I wanted to scream out to them, let it go. Let it go. Reap the harvest. There's an attachment on the combine. There's attachment on that threshing machine. Amen. So you remember when they used to use the binders and bind the bundles up, you know, or when they used the old sickle and they tied the bundles and shocked the bundles, and then when they pulled the old threshing machine in, they drug it in there and cranked it up and you hauled the bundles to the thrasher. I was back far enough back that I got in on that one time, hauling bundles and feeding that thrasher. Throwing them bundles into the hopper on top of that thrasher. That needed to beat the grain out, dump the straw out the back. Somebody had to rake the straw back and stack the straw every once in a while. And the wheat all went into the bin. And all the weed seeds and chaff and everything went through the screen. There's a separator, they call it, in that combine. There's a separator. Separates the grain from the other stuff. Amen. And God's going to take care of that. God's going to take care of that. Amen. Let's live good for God. Preach holiness and live holy and live upright with God. And go on and live for God and serve God. And do the very best we can for God. Amen. And whatever else happens, whatever else comes, whatever else goes, let it come, let it go. Just live clean, live holy, live upright. Amen. Keep your standards high. Keep the banner high. Amen. And let the Lord worry about taking care of everything else. Amen. Why? Because we've got a date with destiny. And we need to reap a harvest. We need to be gathering in the grain. Amen. Let God take care of the sorting. Keep casting the net out. Yes, I've heard folks make a statement. I'm just afraid if we have a great big move, we're liable to get some folks in that ain't for real.
Probably will.
You get a great big move, one of them landslide type deals, one of them great visitation. Yeah, you'll get some in. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that cast a net in the sea.
Right.
And he brought in all kinds of fish. Yeah. Some was good and some wasn't fit to eat. And the good they put in baskets. And the bad they throwed out. Hallelujah. God will do to take care of the situation. Don't worry about it. Pray for a move of God. Pray for a revival. Pray God will move and visit the countryside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, not everybody that prays is going to stick. But don't get so far down that you can't keep a praising God and serving God and shouting hallelujah. We'd like to keep all of them. We'd like to keep all of them. Amen. But everything I drag out of the space with your ocean fish and everything you drag out of the ocean, you don't keep.
No.
I wish they was all good big fish that you could keep, but they're not.
They're not keepers.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And don't get down the mouth about it because you catch one of them old gaff top catfish. Watch it. They don't hurt you while you're trying to get loose from him.
That's right.
Hey, man.
You have to watch him. He'll hurt you.
He'll spur you. He'll get you.
Yeah.
Oh, they're rough. They're mean. I know from experience. But just because you catch one or two of them, don't give up. They keep a fishing. You may get one of them big ones directly that's good eating. One of them big enough to cut steaks off of him. Glory to God. So what if you pull in a few that ain't no good? So what if you get a few of them that are not fit to eat? Hey, man, there's some good ones out there, too. There's some nice ones out there, too. Glory be to God. Just get unhooked from that thing and cast your rig out again and try another time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Throw the net back out again and keep on throwing it out and bring it in and the good will go in the baskets and those that's not fit to keep, well, God will take care of the situation. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm preaching like this, but we've got a date with destiny. We've got a date to answer to God whether we've been faithful or not. Other folks' faithfulness or unfaithfulness is really not going to affect the situation too much as far as we're concerned with God. Daniel, these things are going to happen. These things are going to come to pass. But you've got a date with destiny. You'll not see it all happen, Daniel. Oh, I tell you, it's a thrilling to live in this end time. It's thrilling to live in this end time. I mean, just pick up the newspaper every once in a while, start reading something, grab the Bible and flip over there, read it. Why, I thought a lot. Brother Warren Moorhead used to preach on prophecy a lot when I was a kid growing up. Man, if he could see the things that we've seen, if he could hear the things that we've heard, glory to God, if he knew how much of what he preached has already come to pass, you'd probably have a hard time of holding him in this building. Amen. He'd be so thrilled and so happy and know the Lord's coming so soon. He'd be hopping and running and shouting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we saw so much and heard so much. We're so used to it, it doesn't even bother us anymore. It doesn't even affect us much anymore.
Watch out.
And here we are right on the threshold of it.
Here we are.
Generation on whom the ends of the world have come. I believe that's us. I believe we're that close. The generation on whom the ends of the world have come that Paul told about. No. Nobody else has walked where we're walking. Nobody else is treading where we're treading. That's right. It's not like it was even 30, 40 years ago. That's right.
How so?
You say, oh, people... just they ain't putting forth the effort to have revival they used to have. I beg your pardon. We pray just as hard.
Right.
Fast just as much.
Right.
Maybe even a little more.
Maybe more. Live just as good.
Living just as good. Maybe a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Understand the Word of God more than we did then.
More.
See, I was there.
Yes.
And I'm here.
I was there. I too am here.
We was there, Brother Collins.
All the things
we didn't hardly think we had revival unless we had about 30 or 40 pray through.
Right.
Amen. 60 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
25, 35, 40 get the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
We just kind of had a washout if we didn't see some of that. Amen?
Right.
We're living a different day right now than we was when your pastor and I started preaching. You put forth the same effort now. Hey, you go, men and seducers have waxed worse and worse.
Right.
More people's lined up on the devil's side.
Right.
Amen. The devil's pretty helpless unless he's got somebody to move through. But look how the world's gone. Look how they've aligned themselves with the enemy of our soul. Look how the spirit of darkness is moving so in the world. It's end time. It's end time. How people revile today. How they curse God. How...